Israel escalates Lebanon strikes as 7 killed in widening regional conflict. An Israeli air strike on a family home in Ansar, southern Lebanon, killed 7 people on August 15, 2026, marking the deadliest Israeli attack in Lebanon since a U.S.-brokered framework agreement in June reduced hostilities, and signaling that the architecture holding the ceasefire together is under acute structural stress. 7 people, including children, died when Israeli forces struck a residential building on the outskirts of Ansar in the Nabati district in the early hours of Saturday morning, according to Lebanon's national news agency, NNA. 3 additional people sustained wounds in the strike. Emergency responders from the Islamic Message Scout Association, the Islamic Health Authority, and Lebanon's civil defense worked through the rubble to recover the dead and transfer survivors to hospitals in Nabati. The Ansar strike did not stand alone. NNA reported a series of coordinated Israeli airstrikes hitting the Ali al-Tahir Ridge near Nabati al-Fawqa, 2 strikes near the Teachers Training Center and the Husseini Club in Nabati al-Fawqa, and bombardment of the valley between Ansar and Zarariya. That last strike was, per NNA, the first to reach that far into southern Lebanon since the June ceasefire. Israeli forces also destroyed homes in Bint Jebel and opened heavy machine gun fire along the Kunansaf al-Hawa Road. Hezbollah leader Naim Qassem, responding on Friday, directed criticism at Lebanese authorities over ceasefire implementation. How can you accept this ongoing humiliation of the Lebanese army, exposing it to bombardment and Israeli pressures, instead of acting as its protectors? Qassem said. The strikes matter beyond the immediate human toll. The June framework, brokered following a U.S.-Iran Memorandum of Understanding, calls for Hezbollah's disarmament, a gradual Israeli withdrawal, and Lebanese army deployment in the south. The August 15 escalation tests whether any of those 3 pillars remain actionable, or whether the accord has already collapsed in practice while surviving on paper. The June framework, what the agreement promised, what it delivered, the June 2026 accord reduced hostilities in southern Lebanon for roughly 2 months. The framework's terms, as reported by Al Jazeera, carried 3 requirements: Hezbollah disarmament, a phased Israeli military withdrawal, and the southward deployment of the Lebanese armed forces. None of the 3 pillars had reached completion by August 15. Israeli strikes and demolitions continued in the south throughout the 2-month period, despite the reduction in large-scale hostilities. The Lebanese army had not established full control over the territory the framework designated. Hezbollah had not disarmed. The August 15 escalation, with strikes reaching geographic positions not hit since June, represents a measurable deterioration in framework compliance. NNA's characterization of the Ansar-Zarariyeh Valley strike as the first strike to reach this far into southern Lebanon since the ceasefire establishes a geographic benchmark for the breakdown. Our view, a ceasefire that survives on paper while the dominant party continues kinetic operations, is not a ceasefire. It is a managed degradation of the opposing party under diplomatic cover. For institutional capital assessing Lebanon risk, the June framework should be repriced from fragile peace to contested armistice, a category with materially different implications for sovereign spreads, reconstruction capital timelines, and insurance coverage. The Syrian pressure variable, Washington's low-cost option, is Damascus's high-cost problem, U.S. President Donald Trump has raised the prospect of Syrian intervention in Lebanon to disarm Hezbollah on multiple occasions in recent weeks, according to analyst Manhol Bersh writing for Al Jazeera. Washington frames this as a pressure instrument, one that keeps Iran's calculus unstable without committing American forces. Damascus carries a different calculation. Syria's new government is consolidating factions into a unified command structure, managing internal security challenges, and pursuing economic recovery. Entering Lebanon risks Iranian retaliation that could reach Syrian territory, politically strengthens Hezbollah by casting it as a resistance force against external invasion, and consumes military and fiscal resources the Syrian state cannot spare. Bersh identifies what Syria's armed forces can realistically deliver: border control, tunnel closures, and prevention of arms smuggling. What they cannot deliver: sustained territorial control inside Lebanon or a war of attrition in populated environments. The gap between what Washington wants and what Damascus can execute is wide. The implication: Syrian intervention remains a theoretical lever, not an operational one. For investors, this matters because Washington's rhetoric on Syrian involvement creates noise that could move Lebanese sovereign instruments, regional equity risk premiums, and Gulf cooperation, counsel geopolitical hedges, without a corresponding real-world escalation. Key risk: the more probable path is prolonged Israeli unilateral action in southern Lebanon without a functional multilateral enforcement mechanism. That scenario extends reconstruction timeline uncertainty and raises the cost of any capital reentry into Lebanese infrastructure or real estate by an indeterminate period. Hezbollah's strategic position: politically vocal, militarily constrained Naim Qassem's statement on Friday targeted Lebanese authorities rather than Israel directly, a choice that reveals organizational logic. Hezbollah, weakened by 2 years of attrition since the 2024 escalation cycle, is now fighting on the political front with the tools it retains: narrative, grievance mobilization, and pressure on state institutions. Al Jazeera's coverage asks whether Hezbollah has been weakened as a standing contextual question tied to the broader Lebanon-Israel conflict frame. The answer implicit in the August 15 events is sufficiently weakened that Israeli forces can strike residential buildings 2 months into a ceasefire without triggering a symmetric military response. Al Jazeera correspondent Ali Hashim reported from the scene of the Ansar strike, confirming children were among the dead. That detail matters for the political economy of the conflict. Civilian casualties, particularly those involving children, have historically triggered international condemnation cycles that create temporary diplomatic pressure, but have not altered Israeli operational posture in this conflict. Our view: Hezbollah's decision to direct criticism at Lebanese authorities rather than announce a military response is itself the signal. It marks a party choosing political survival and institutional influence over military confrontation at a time when its operational capacity has been degraded. For private equity investors assessing Lebanon's political risk, Hezbollah's pivot toward political rather than kinetic response is a second-order positive for medium-term stability. The caveat is that this posture holds only as long as Israeli strikes do not cross a threshold that makes non-response organizationally untenable. Capital implications: Lebanon's reconstruction premium stays elevated. Lebanese sovereign debt and reconstruction finance have operated under a persistent risk premium since the 2019 financial collapse and the 2020 Beirut port explosion. The June 2026 ceasefire framework created a conditional basis for international capital to begin pricing a reconstruction scenario. The August 15 escalation erodes that basis. Terms of international reconstruction commitments were not disclosed in the source material. The extent of infrastructure damage from the August 15 and surrounding strikes was not quantified in available reporting. Deal values for any Lebanon-linked infrastructure vehicles were not referenced in the source text. What the source material establishes: the geographic perimeter of Israeli strikes expanded on August 15, reaching farther into southern Lebanon than at any point in the 2 months since June. That expansion resets the risk perimeter for any capital deployment in the Nabati district and adjacent areas. Historical context: Lebanon's post-2006 reconstruction, following the 34-day war with Israel, took roughly 5 years to approach completion and required an estimated $1.1 billion in pledged international support, according to World Bank figures from that period. The current conflict has caused damage at a scale widely assessed by regional analysts as materially exceeding 2006 levels, though precise figures from verified 2026 sources were not available in the source material provided here. Our view: the June framework created an option on Lebanese reconstruction capital deployment. The August 15 strikes did not eliminate that option, but they extended its expiry and raised its exercise price. Investors holding positions predicated on a 12 to 18 month reconstruction timeline should revise that assumption toward 24 to 36 months. The Plaquemium view: the August 15 strikes are not a breakdown. They are a proof of concept for a new conflict architecture, one in which a formal ceasefire framework coexists with ongoing unilateral military operations by the stronger party, sustained by the absence of any enforcement mechanism with real teeth. Washington brokered the June Accord, but has no deployed force to enforce it. The Lebanese army cannot confront Israeli forces directly. Hezbollah has shifted to political rather than kinetic resistance. Syria will not intervene. The result is a power vacuum in southern Lebanon that Israel fills operationally, while the diplomatic framework survives rhetorically. What the market may be mispricing: the durability of this equilibrium as a feature rather than a bug. For Israeli strategic planners, continued low-intensity operations under ceasefire cover achieve the objectives of territorial control and Hezbollah degradation without the political cost of a declared war. That logic, if it holds, means the current pattern of strikes continues for months, possibly longer, with periodic escalations that test, but do not break the June framework's nominal existence. For institutional capital, the second-order play is not Lebanon reconstruction, not yet. It is the Gulf Cooperation Council, state's position to absorb Lebanese financial talent, Lebanese diaspora investment flows, and regional capital rerouted away from Beirut. Dubai, Riyadh, and Amman have each expanded their financial services footprints over the past 3 years partly as a function of Beirut's sustained dysfunction. Every month the Lebanese reconstruction option stays unexercised, those flows consolidate further. The longer-term thesis: if and when a durable enforcement mechanism emerges, whether through a strengthened UNIFIL mandate, a U.S.-Iran comprehensive agreement, or a multilateral reconstruction fund with conditionality, the re-rating of Lebanese assets will be sharp and fast. The investors who position ahead of that inflection, accepting extended timeline risk, will capture the spread. The August 15 data point pushes that inflection further out. It does not eliminate it. The bottom line: Lebanon's June ceasefire framework is intact on paper and under sustained pressure in practice. The August 15 strikes, the deadliest since the accord was reached and the deepest geographically since the ceasefire, demonstrate that Israeli operational freedom in southern Lebanon has not been constrained by the diplomatic settlement. Hezbollah's political response, rather than military one, delivered through Naim Qassem's Friday statement, signals an organization managing its constraints rather than breaking through them. Syria will not intervene to change the calculus. The enforcement vacuum persists. For institutional capital, Lebanon reconstruction exposure carries a materially longer timeline than the June Accord implied. Gulf Cooperation Council financial hub positioning remains the durable beneficiary of continued Beirut dysfunction. Watch the Lebanese army deployment progress and any revision to the June framework's Hezbollah disarmament timetable as the two clearest leading indicators of whether the reconstruction option moves closer to exercise or expires further.